Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Okay, ready to roll? Today we are going to learn the 33rd installment, Shir of Sefer HaMitzvos, which corresponds to the 7th, 8th, and 9th chapters of Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam's magnum opus, the Laws of Blessings. Now, the mitzvah that's associated with this is but one mitzvah. As we have previously stated, it is the 19th positive mitzvah. It is the divine command that we thank God after we have eaten and are sated. And this is what's called Berchat HaMazon Min HaTorah, the biblical obligation of Berchat HaMazon. If one eats less than is required for satiation, however, one eats what's called a halachic serving, which is a kezayit, slightly less than an ounce, 0.90 of an ounce, then one is required to recite Berchat HaMazon Midrabanan by rabbinic origin. Now, if you remember, we talked previously that there is a discussion in the Talmud whether or not women are obligated in the same manner as men in the mitzvah of Berchat HaMazon. The question stems from the nature of Berchat HaMazon, because we say we connect it to the covenant of the land. So thanking God for the land. And as far as land and inheritance are concerned, so the woman usually inherited the land with her husband, and if she was from the tribe of Asher, for example, and she married somebody from the tribe of Gad, then the land that she would inherit with her family would be the land of Gad, not the land of Asher. So because the technical laws of Yerusha with regard to Eretz Yisrael, the ancestral bequeathment of land, follows the male line, for being Jewish comes from your mother, but what kind of Jew you are, what tribe you hail from, comes from your father. So the technical side of bequeathment does not apply to women. And as such, there is an opinion in the Talmud that they may not be obligated in the mitzvah of Berchat HaMazon. Conversely, the Gemara suggests that since we have a rule that only a mitzvah taseh she hazman grama, only a time-bound mitzvah, positive mitzvah, as a rule, is something that women are not obligated, but it's not something that's activated in a certain time or by a certain time, then it's something that a woman is obligated just as a man is. Or sometimes we have a mitzvah like the eating of matzah, where women are just as obligated as men are, because the mitzvah of eating matzah is connected to the prohibition of consuming chametz. And when it comes to negative prohibitions, men and women are equally responsible. There's no leniencies, nobody has more or less of an obligation. So therefore, the Gemara suggests that the mitzvah of Berchat HaMazon should be applicable to women just as much as it is to men. The Gemara never resolves this. There's no clarity. And therefore, on a practical level, we have a statement which is made in the Braisa that says that a person, if he ate and he's reciting Berchat HaMazon, he can have somebody else in mind. And a person who doesn't know how to recite grace after meals can listen and fulfill his mitzvah, his biblical obligation, by listening to somebody else make the bracha and answer amen. The Kesef Mishnah points out that you don't even have to answer amen, because really it says shomea keone. It says somebody who listens, it's as if he is responding, or shomea keomer. So it's as if he's saying the words, just listening. However, when one recites amen, then the reward is greater, and that you verbalize your agreement and your acquiescence to the making of the bracha. So if somebody can perform this mitzvah on his own, he certainly should. That's always, we say, it's better for you to do the mitzvah on your own. However, if somebody cannot, he can fulfill the mitzvah with somebody else's Berchat HaMazon. Here, the notion, the concept of shlichut, of power of agency, applies. So then we have a very interesting statement, which is brought in the Braisa, and the Rambam says it in the Halacha, that if a woman makes Berchat HaMazon, and her husband is illiterate, and he doesn't know how to recite Berchat HaMazon, he answers amen, he fulfills his mitzvah. However, the Rambam qualifies, as the Gemara explains, this would only be in a situation where he ate less than satiation. He only ate the amount of a kezayit, because the amount of a kezayit, a serving, as we said, 0.90 of an ounce, is something that you require to recite Berchat HaMazon, to fulfillment of the 19th mitzvah of the Torah, by biblical ordination, by rabbinic ordination. Because by the strict biblical ordination, one has to have eaten enough for satiation. So if a person is required to recite Berachat HaMazon midrabanon, rabbinically, because he ate less than a kezayit, then in that case, it would be fine if his wife is reciting Berachat HaMazon, because women are rabbinically certainly obligated in Berachat HaMazon. However, if he eats at satiation, in that case, that would not apply, because the person who is assisting the one making the bracha has to be as obligated as the one who is actually reciting the bracha. So those are some details of the actual fulfillment of mitzvah 19, which is connected to eating, to satiation. And as we mentioned previously, this relates specifically to the five grains. However, the Rambam says further, and I want to point out, I mentioned 2 days ago, that the notion of this mitzvah, the way the Rambam says it, the Sefer HaChinuch goes into some very, very sophisticated language. He's very concerned about attributing a reason, and he says, really, it's beyond our understanding, it's beyond the scope of comprehension, but nonetheless, Ha'avol Mikalkel says, Ashura the Chinuch says, I have such a love for Hashem, and to try to relate to the mitzvah, therefore I want to give you a reason. Anyway, the Rambam says very, very simply, we mentioned this 2 days ago, he says that when you recite a bracha, then this is a kedei in order, lizkor et habor et tamid, to remember the Creator at all times. And we explained 2 days ago why it's specifically necessary after satiation. However, the Rambam gives us this reason after he first introduces an entire new categories, plural, of brachas. Because the rabbis instituted that we should make a bracha on any food that we eat. Any food that we eat, we have to make a bracha on. And as long as you're planning to consume, rather than simply taste to see if something needs more salt, you have to recite a bracha. And this is the idea of what's called Birchat HaNehenin, the blessing recited over all pleasure or delight that one derives from God's bounty. The same applies also if somebody is able to enjoy a beautiful aroma, a Reach Tov, that he also should first recite a bracha, and only afterwards should he then enjoy the beautiful smell. And the Gemara says we learn this from the notion of Kol HaNeshama Tahalal Yudke, Tahalal Kod, that every neshama praises God. And the Gemara says, Ezehu davar shahaneshama nehenishimenu. What is the kind of thing that the soul enjoys? The soul does not enjoy steak. The soul does not enjoy lasagna. What if something that's a little more spiritual, a little less graphic, a little less carnal? I said, this is like a beautiful aroma. And this is something that one's spirit could be revived. And it's not something in haguf nehenishimenu. It's not something there's an actual physical pleasure from. So therefore, the Gemara says this is reach, and before one enjoys a beautiful aroma, taking it in through the ability that Hashem gave us to smell, that too would require a bracha. All of this is called birchat hanenin. And then there is another kind of bracha. And this is a bracha that we recite before we perform a mitzvah. The rabbis based this concept on the 19th mitzvah of the Torah. And the Rambam says all of these different brachas, the bracha before we perform a mitzvah, thanking God for the opportunity. A Jew is not supposed to serve Hashem and say, oh my God, another mitzvah? I can't believe this. I can't believe how many mitzvahs I have to do. That's all wrong. A Jew has to serve God out of love. A Jew has to serve God with a sense of passion, with a sense of wonderment and awe that he or she has the opportunity to serve God who is so high. And therefore, we recite a bracha. We say, Asher Kedishanu, God has hallowed us. He sanctified us. We thank him for the opportunity to be able to serve him. For every mitzvah is a diamond. There's no value that one can even place on them. It's invaluable. And therefore, because this is the case, one is properly supposed to recite a bracha. I had a very interesting question a few days ago. These people were having a dispute that if somebody doesn't hear the blessings to the Megillah, if they still fulfill the mitzvah. So I said, of course they do. They were shocked. They said, no, but even if you miss a word, I said, no, even if you miss a word of the Megillah, because the mitzvah is to hear every word of the Megillah. You do not lose the mitzvah if you don't recite a bracha. So somebody lights Shabbat candles, doesn't make a bracha, or somebody puts on tefillin, doesn't make a bracha, or somebody will eat matzah on the night of Pesach and they won't make a bracha, they still have the mitzvah. What they lost is the opportunity to make a bracha. And this is a very special thing. And we see that from the fact you can't just make brachot. If it's a bracha she'ein atzricha, if it's a bracha that's not required, it's not necessary. It's called the bracha levatala. And that goes into the arena of chilul Hashem, of desecrating, of making mundane that which is supposed to be sacred and holy. It's an act of sacrilege. So the idea of doing this is, the Rambam says the same reasoning. It's all kedei lizker es habayra tamid. All to continuously remember God. And finally, there's another kind of bracha. There's a bracha called shevach v'hidah, a blessing of thanksgiving. For example, you made it to a milestone. You make a bracha called shehechiyanu. There's a bracha recited called Hatova Hametiv. When other people benefit together with you, you have to recite Hatova Hametiv. So these are, once again, something that the Chachamim said, if we come to a special moment in time, then we have to acknowledge God's kindness, and we do so with the recitation of a bracha. All of these blessings, all of them together, are related to the concept, according to the Rambam, they all have the same recurring theme. The theme of to remember God constantly, ulayira oto, to develop a sense of awe and of reverence. All of the blessings that we have, that we're familiar with, were instituted by Ezra and his Bet Din, and one may not change from the syntax of a blessing. In fact, it says, Kol hamishana mimatbeya shetovu chachomim, anybody who changes from the phraseology or syntax that was coined by the sages with regard to brachot, we are told, eino elo toeh, is mistaken. Now, the commentaries explain that this means when you change the thrust of the bracha. So the bracha has a specific structure. If somebody modifies a particular word, he's still not doing the correct thing. The etiquette is to say exactly the bracha as it was ordained, but we won't say toa. Toa means when somebody deviates away from the structure of the bracha. And the basic structure of every bracha is Haskarat Hashem. We mention Baruch Atah Hashem. We say the Shem Adnai. We pronounce it properly. And we invoke the concept of Malchut. We say Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, God's majesty and God's dominion over the universe. Minus this, one has simply not properly recited a bracha. Now, blessings on mitzvahs, you can always listen to somebody else. Blessings on your food, as a rule, you have to make on your own. And we have a variety of blessings on mitzvot, which you're all familiar with, that somebody recites for the entire congregation. For example, when the shofar is blown on Rosh Hashanah, who makes the bracha? The one who's blowing the shofar. What is the bracha he makes? Litkoa? No, not to blow, because there is no mitzvah to blow. The mitzvah is lishmoa, to listen. So the truth is that the Baal Tokea, the one who is blowing the shofar, fulfills the same mitzvah as everybody else who's listening. It just so happens to be that somebody has to blow the shofar in order for people to hear it. And that person also has to be obligated in the mitzvah. This is true. But the mitzvah is to hear the shofar, and the same is true with regard to the Megillah reading. When you listen to the Megillah, it's everybody's bracha. So when it comes to a mitzvah, one can always recite the bracha for other people. When the food is connected to a mitzvah, then the same rule can apply. So for example, on Hamotzi, which we make on Friday night, or on Shabbat morning, we have the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah. There are different schools of thought, whether everybody should make the bracha on their own, or whether everybody should fulfill the bracha through the Baal HaBayit to the one who is leading the meal. That's permitted. Why? Because there's a mitzvah being performed. And very interestingly, the Rambam says that even when there is not an actual mitzvah being performed, but Rabim shenitvadu, when many people come together, le'achol pat, to eat bread, or lishtot yayin, to drink wine together, and one of them makes a bracha, the anu kulum amen, the all answer amen, harei l'mutarim le'achav lishtes, the Rambam says, you may then eat. Why? Why? It's not a mitzvah. And when it comes to eating, ostensibly, one is required to recite the bracha on their own. So we see that it's not such a simple thing. And when people come together, it doesn't mean, by the way, people sitting at the same table by default. That doesn't work. But when people come together, it seems this is in and of itself almost like a mitzvah. And this is called a hazmana. When we gather together, we become a block. When a block, yidden, unite, then one can recite the bracha and everybody else can listen and fulfill that mitzvah. And perhaps this is the origin of the idea that a chassidus shefabrengen, when yidden come together, it's already like a mitzvah. It's already something that unites Jewish people, and then one person can recite the bracha out loud, and everybody else can answer amen. The value, by the way, of having one person recite the bracha for everybody is it's a heightened state of quality. When everybody makes the bracha, you have quantity, a lot of brachas being made. But when one person makes the bracha, he represents the entire assembly. So that bracha is qualitatively enhanced because it's, as it says, in certain machzorim, certain neschot, certain liturgy of high holiday prayers about the chazan, pefiot amcha beit Yisrael, he becomes the mouth of many, rolled up in one. So this is more details about the fulfillment of the 19th mitzvah of the Torah and its many tributaries, which the Chachamim instituted, and the way they instituted it in today's day and age has been since the days of Ezra, nearly 25 centuries ago. And tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we will conclude the laws of brachas, this mitzvah, and move forward into the next mitzvah.